Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this show is for Wednesday, the 5th of April, 2017. This is Wave Sheath Day in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it is another of the commanded holy days by Yahweh. Today we're going to be getting into the book of Amos. And by golly, in the English, they've actually got it spelled right. They butcher most of the names so badly. Amos means burdened. That's the meaning of the name. Now we're going to start in chapter 1. I don't know how far we will get, because of all the commentary and all the references that I have to make in these books of prophecy. They are just loaded with references and it's overwhelming, really. We've got verse 1 here, and I'll get started into references right away. Verse 1, part A, you can reference 2 Kings 15, verses 1 through 7, 2 Chronicles 26, verses 1 through 23. And part B of verse 1, you can reference 2 Kings 14, 23 through 29. And all of verse 1, you can reference Zechariah 14, verse 5. And if you hear background noise, folks, I'm doing the best I can. The trains are hooting and tooting. I got a train yard a couple of miles from me, and up in this apartment, it just echoes through the whole town when they blow those whistles. And the fire sirens have been going off all day. The fire department a block from here has been going in and out, so It's tough recording situations here, folks. But I got to get all of these done because these shows are during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I'm not going to be anywhere near a computer. I'm going to be with all my brothers and sisters down at the site where we hold Passover, and Pastor Eli will be there, and just a whole bunch, with just a fellowship. The feast days are a blessing, and it gives Eli and I a little time off. We do not get any time off. We're at this every day. This is an everyday thing, working with EFR. It's all a volunteer deal, and boy do we volunteer. I know they say never volunteer for anything, but this is Yahweh's doing, and it is a joy. I know it gets tiring after a while, but the harvest is ready and the workers are few, and we just have to keep at it. So let's get into this book of prophecy here. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of Amos, he prophesied between 765 and 755 BC. The words of Amos, 5986, who was among the sheep herders, 5349, of Tekoa, 8620, which he saw upon Israel in the days of Uzziah, 5818, king of Yehuda, and in the days of Jeroboam, 3379, the son of Yaash, 3101, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, 7494. Amos wasn't even a working prophet, but Yahweh chose him out of these sheep herders and gave him these visions. I mean, he just, you know, Yahweh put it on him. And what are you going to do when Yahweh does that to you? You're gonna go with what Yahweh wants. I mean, you don't have a choice. I'm just an old biker. When Yahweh called me, I mean, I am so surprised, even today, that he would see fit to use me. And it's a blessing, and I praise him for it. I thank him for it. But King Uzziah, 5818, his name means my strength is Yah. So they all these names have meanings. Verse 2, and he said, this is what Amos says. And then he gets into Yahweh speaking through him. Pardon me. He said, Yahweh will roar, 7580, from Zion, and give his voice from Jerusalem, and the pastures of the shepherds shall mourn, 56, and the top of Carmel, that's Mount Carmel, 3760, shall wither. Verse 3. Let me get a drink of water. Clear my pipes here a little bit. I'm getting raspy. Ah, yes. Thus says Yahweh. And this form goes right on through. For three transgressions, 6588, of Damasek, that's Damascus, 1834, and for four, I will not turn away, 7725, punishment is implied from it. Because they have threshed, 1758, Gilead, 1568, with sharp instruments of iron. Okay. And for three and for four is a poetic figure. Okay. And this, pardon me a minute. This form goes through where he's recounting the sins of all these different places and people that use this form, so it'll be standardized here. Verse 4, but I will send a fire into the house of Kazael, 2371, which shall devour the fortresses, 759, of Ben-Hadad, 1130. Okay. Those were the Syria. Those are Damascus. Verse 5. I will also break, 7665, the bar of Damasek. That's the bar of the city gates. And cut off the inhabitants from the plain of Awen, 206, and he that holds the scepter from Beth Eden, 1040, the house of Eden, and the people of Aram, 758, shall go into captivity, 1540, unto Kir, 7024. See, these were the, this was Aram, says Yahweh. This is Aram, and they were going to be broken. They're the Arameans. They were a mighty, mighty force. Verse 6. And verses, oh, I have to do some more notations here. Verse 2 of this, you can reference Joel, and in Hebrew that's Ya'el, Yah is God. We're going to be getting into that later. Chapter 3, verse 16, and verses 3 through 5 about Damasek. You can reference Isaiah 17, verses 1 through 3, Jeremiah 49, verses 23 to 27, and Zechariah 9, verses 5 through 7. I got so caught up in this, it's so strong that I forgot to do the little notes, and I have them highlighted in pink so I don't miss them, but I missed them anyway. Verse 6, pardon me just for a second. Spring has sprung here. I actually have the windows open because it's so nice outside. And I have everything, the heat pump and everything shut off. I don't need it, don't need heat, don't need air conditioning, just the air outside. It's just wonderful. Verse 6, thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Aza and for four, now Aza 5804 is Gaza today. They put a G on it. That's Gaza over in the land of Palestine. And verses 6 through 8, you can reference Isaiah chapter 14, verses 29 through 31, Jeremiah 47, verses 1 through 7, Ezekiel 25, verses 15 through 17, Joel, that would be Ya'el, verse 3, verses 4 through 8, Zephaniah 2, verses 4 through 7, and Zechariah 9, verses 5 through 7. They have a lot of reference here. They're mentioned all through these prophecies. Oh, my. Got lung problems again. That's normal with the weather change. For three transgressions of Aza and for four, I will not turn away, and punishment is implied, from it, because they carried away captive the whole captivity. They helped capture Israel to deliver up 5462 to Edom 1 2 3. Boy, they were enemies. Verse 7. But I will send a fire on the wall of Aza, which will devour the fortresses of it. Verse 8. And I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, 795. And he that holds a scepter from Ashkelon, 831. And I will turn my hand against Ekron, 6138. And the remnant, 7611, of the Pelishti, 6430, shall perish. 6. That's the Philistines, says the Lord Yahweh. So the Philistines helped and turned over Israel to the Edomites, their blood enemies that have always hated Jacob Israel. So they were going to get nailed. They were always a big enemy of David, remember? Samson. They were fighting the Philistines all the time. And here's verse 9. And verses 9 and 10, you can reference Isaiah 23, verses 1 through 18, Ezekiel 26, verses 1 through chapter 28, 19, 26, 1 through 28, 19, Yoel, that's Ya'el, chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, Zechariah 9, verses 1 through 4, the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, and the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. See, I told you there was tons of references here. Verse 9, thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Zoar, 6865, that's Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away punishment from it, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. They were in on this too, and did not remember 2142, the brotherly covenant. Now you see, they had good kings that were friends with Israel and helped. Kiram, King Kiram, helped David. Just loved David to pieces. Just thought the world of David. Couldn't do enough to help him. Well, they turned. They turned. Verse 10. But I will send a fire on the wall of Zoar, which will devour the fortresses of it. And the fire is going to be invading enemy troops. They use terms to describe their poetic terms and figures of speech all through prophecy. Verse 11. And verses 11 and 12, here's a whole bunch of references again. You can reference Isaiah 34, 5 through 17, and Isaiah 63, 1 through 6. Jeremiah 49, verses 7 through 22. And Ezekiel 25, verses 12 through 14, and chapter 35, 1 through 15. All of the book of Obadiah and Malachi 1, verses 2 through 5. Verse 11. For three transgressions of Edom, 123, and for four, I will not turn away punishment from it, because he did pursue his brother with the sword and cast off, 7843, all pity, 7356, and his anger tore, 2963, perpetually, 5703, and he kept his wrath forever. Let's stop right here. Their wrath is still against true Israel. And the Edomites have bred down with all the other ites and all that stuff and the seed of Cain. And they are known today as modern day Jewry, which hates true Israel with an undying hatred. And now they're mixed with the seed line of Satan. or the devil or whatever name of the one that seduced Eve in the Garden of Eden. They have the seed of Cain in their bloodline, which is satanic, devilish. Christ identified them in John chapter 8, children of the devil. And they are continually at us with every way they can possibly do to try to harm us. They are the enemy. Verse 12, but I will send a fire upon Taman, 8487, that was Duke, that's the name of one of the dukes or the chiefs of Edom, and you can reference Genesis 36, verse 11 on that, which will devour the fortresses of Bozrah. 1224, that's Bozrah in your English. Verse 13. And verses 13 through 15, here's a bunch more references. You can reference Jeremiah 49, verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel 21, verses 28 through 32, and 25, verses 1 through 7. And Zephaniah 2, verses 8 through 11. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, 5983, those are the Ammonites, and for four, I will not turn away punishment of it, because they ripped up, 1, 2, 3, 4, the pregnant, 2030, women of Gilead, 1568, so that they might extend, 7337, their border. Verse 14, but I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, 7237, and will deliver the fortresses of it with shouting, 8643, in the day of battle, with a tempest, 5591, in the day of the storm wind, 5492. And their, verse 15, and their king shall go into captivity, 1473, he and his officers, 8269, together, says Yahweh. And that ends chapter 1. That's only 15 verses, but I've had to take all this time just to do the references. And here we are, chapter 2. This vein of condemnation continues here. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Moab, 4124, and for four, I will not turn away punishment of it, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime, 7875. They were all doing this evil between themselves. And chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, here's a bunch more references. You can reference Isaiah 15, 1 through 16. I read that wrong. Isaiah 15, 1 through 16, 14. Chapter 15, verse 1 through chapter 16, 14. And chapter 25, verses 10 through 12. The book of Jeremiah, 48, verses 1 through 47. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 25, verses 8 through 11. The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Verse 2, now pay attention to this, I have some comments on this. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the fortresses, of Kirioth, 7152, And Moab shall die with a crash, 7588, of battle, with the war cry, 8643, and with the sound of the shofar. Now, let's stop right here. Kirioth, 7152. It's spelled Q-E-R-I-Y-Y-O-T-H. This is where Judas Iscariot came from. And it means Yehuda, man of Kirioth. Yehuda Iscariot. It's three words. Judas in the Hebrew is Yehuda, named after Judah. So they've changed the words and mystified everything and made a last name out of two separate words. Iscariot is not a word. It is Ish, separation, Kirioth, man of Kirioth, in the land of Moab, on the border of Eden. Edom, not Eden, Edom. And they were heavily mixed with the Edomites at that point. And that's where he came from. Okay, let's move on to verse 3. In chapter 2. And I will cut off the judge, 8199, from the midst of it, and will slay all the officials of it with him. Because when you say cut off, that means cut off from life, says Yahweh. Verse 4, thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Yehuda, the land of Yehuda, he's going to punish Yehuda as well. They're going to get hit. For three transgressions of Yehuda and for four, I will not turn away punishment. Of it, because they have despised the Torah of Yahweh and have not observed his statutes and their lies, 3577, caused them to err, 8582, after which their ancestors have walked. But I will send a fire upon Yehuda and it will devour the fortresses, I misread that again, of Yerushalayim. That was a fortified city. Verse 6. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away punishment of it because they sold, 4376, the righteous, 6662, for silver, 3701, and the needy, 34, the poor, for a pair of sandals, 5275. They sold people into slavery. Israelites. They're not allowed to do that. That's one of the commands. You will not make a slave of your fellow Israelite. You will not do that. You can make a slave of the strangers, but not fellow Israelites. But they did that. Verse 7. You that crush, 7602, the heads of the poor, 1800, into the dust of the land, and turn aside, 5186, the way of the humble, 6035, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid, 5291, to profane my holy name. And that word, the father and the son were both having sex with the same maiden. And a maiden means a virgin. Verse 8. And they recline, 5186, by every altar, 4196. Those are pagan altars. Upon garments, 899, taken as a pledge, 2254. And they drink, 8354, wine, 3196, of those fined, 6064, in the house of their Elohim, small g gods. And 2254, garments taken as a pledge, reference Exodus 22, 26, and Deuteronomy 24, verses 12 and 17. If you were going to loan somebody something, it would be customary to take a surety, a pledge, for the loan. But Yahweh commanded that you do not take, if you take a garment, you are to return it before sundown, because the long garments, the long shawls that Israelite men wore, is what they slept in. It was almost like a blanket. It was against Yahweh's law. So here they're violating that law. And here's verse 9. And you can reference Deuteronomy 3, verse 8 through 11. Yet I destroyed, 8045, the Emori, 567, those are the Amorites, from before them, whose height, 1363, this is a figurative, was as the height of the cedars, 730, and he was strong as the oaks. Speaking of the Amorites. Yet I destroyed his fruit, 6529, from above, and his roots from beneath. He's using the figurative of trees for the Amorites. Again, they use trees a lot. And the fruits are his children, and the roots are the hold on which, on the lands which he occupied. So he ran off the Amorites. Verse 10. I also brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and led you for 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amori. Verse 11, and you can reference Numbers 6, verses 1 through 8, for verse 11. And of your sons I raised up prophets, 50-30. And of your young men, 970, Nazirim, 5139. These were Nazirites, men dedicated by a vow, like Samson, who didn't cut their hair or drink of the fruit of the vine while under the vow. They were wholly dedicated to Yahweh. Is it not even thus, O you children of Israel, says Yahweh? Verse 12. This is another violation of Yahweh's law. But you gave the Nazirim wine to drink in violation of their oath, and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Verse 13. Behold, I will cause you to totter. That's one word, 5781. as a cart, 5699, totters under a full load, 4392, of sheaves, 5995, an overloaded cart that wobbles back and forth. Verse 14, flight 4498 shall perish from the swift, 7031, and the strong shall not strengthen his strength. Strong is 2389, strengthen is 553, and strength is 3581. Nor the mighty, 1368, deliver, 4422, himself. Verse 15, neither shall he stand that wields, 8610, the bow, 7198, and the swift of foot shall not be delivered, nor he that rides the horse deliver himself. There will be no escape. Verse 16, and the brave of heart, brave is 553, and heart is 3820, among the mighty shall flee away, 5127, naked, 6174, in that day, says Yahweh. They'll have their clothes ripped off in the battle, and they'll run away naked. Boy, oh boy. Well, let's see. Here we are at chapter 3. Let me get a drink of water. I was going to try to get 4 chapters in today, but it doesn't look like I'm going to make it. We'll see. Too much commentary. I can't do this short. I have to give it the full load here. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against all the clans which I brought up from the land of Mitzrayim, saying. Verse 2. You only, 7535, have I known, 3045, okay, you only have I known, only Israel, from all the peoples of the land. Therefore, I will visit punishment upon you for all your iniquities. And here's Amos speaking. Can two walk together except they meet? 3259. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion give voice from his dwelling place if he has captured nothing? Verse 5, can a bird fall, accidentally is implied, into a bird trap upon the ground where no lure is for him? Shall you take up a bird trap from the ground and have caught nothing at all? Verse 6, shall a shofar be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid, because that's a sound of alarm. Shall there be calamity in a city, and Yahweh has not done it? Verse 7. Surely the Lord Yahweh will do nothing until he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Verse 8. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord Yahweh has spoken. Who will not prophesy? Verse 9. Proclaim in the fortresses at Ashdod and in the fortresses in the land of Mitzrayim and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Shomeron, that's Samaria, and behold the great uproar in the midst of it and the oppressed in the midst of it. Verse 10. This is Yahweh speaking. For they do not know to do right, says Yahweh, who store up violence and destruction in their fortresses. Verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, an adversary, 6862, that's Tsar, all about the land, shall bring down your strength from you, and your fortresses shall be plundered. Verse 12, thus says Yahweh, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Shomeron in the corner of a bed, and in Demeshek, that's 1833, and that's also Damascus, and it's a spelling difference from 1834. On a couch, verse 13. Hear and testify in the house of Jacob, says the Lord Yahweh, the Elohim of hosts, that in the day that I shall do punishment of the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also do punishment upon the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And verse 14, you can reference 2 Kings 23, verse 15. I'll get into this in just a second. Verse 15, and I will smite the autumn house, that's 2779, with the summer house, 7019, and the houses of ivory, 8127, shall perish, and the great houses shall come to an end, 5486, says Yahweh. False worship was going on at Bethel. And materialism was ruling the land instead of Yahweh's laws. The horns of the altar in verse 14 refers to the powers of the false worshipers, which would be cut off. The autumn house in verse 15 is as a palace during harvest, and the summer house is a symbol of the ripening fruit and its harvest. And their commercialism is symbolized in the ivory house, which was an item of commerce among rich merchants and will also be cut off. In other words, the crops are going to fail, their trade would fail, all the rich apostatized Israelites would be punished. Their great houses of commerce, which they valued more than Yahweh's word, were come to an end. And let's see, how long is verse 4? That's only 13 verses. Let me see if I can get this in. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan. And cows is 6510, and is a derogatory figure for women, that are in the mountains of Shomeron, who oppress the poor. These are rich, fat, you know, libtards. Who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, which say to their husbands, come, let us drink. Verse 2, the Lord Yahweh has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks, that's 6793, or barbed spears is used for fishing, and your remnant, 319, with hooks of fishing. Verse 3. Now, this has a problem, and I'll give this to you. And you shall go forth from the breaches, 6556. These are breaches like holes in a wall. Every woman straight forward, and you shall, and here's where the problem is. Cast out, or be cast out, 7993. Into Harmon, 2038, that's an unknown location, or Harmona, as the mountains of Armenia. This text is dubious in the Hebrew, and it's very unclear. And then it says Yahweh, that ends that verse. So there's a problem with some of the wording in that verse. The actual meaning has been lost. Verse 4, this is Yahweh speaking. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgressions. They were doing pagan worship and sacrifices. And bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes after 3 days. Verse 5, and you can reference Leviticus 7, verse 13. Burn a thank offering of leavened bread, 2557, and proclaim for all to hear the freewill offerings, 5071. For you love this, O you children of Israel, says the Lord Yahweh. The bread is not to be burned. In Leviticus 7:13, this is a mocking of their false worship here. They love making a public display. Verse 6, you can reference the Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha, chapter 12, verses 2 and 10. I have also given you cleanness, 5356, of teeth, 8127, and their teeth are clean from not eating anything, in all your cities, and lack of food in all your places, yet you have not returned to me. He hit them with famine, and they still wouldn't return. Verse 7, I have also withheld rain from you, yet 3 months before harvest I made it rain upon one city and made it not rain upon another city. One portion received rain and the portion it did not rain upon withered. Verse 8, so two or three cities tottered, 5128, that's as staggering from thirst, to one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, 7646, yet you have not returned to me. Verse 9, I have smitten you with blight, 7711, that's Shidaphon, and mildew, 3420, that is Yeragon, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the locust caterpillar devoured them, yet you have not returned to me. Verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence, 1698, Deber, after the manner of Mitzrayim, same as what he did in Egypt. Your young men I have slain with the sword, and I have made the stench, 889, of your camps, to come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, says Yahweh. Verse 11, you can reference Genesis 19, verse 24. I have overthrown you as Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand, 181, plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says Yahweh. Verse 12, therefore this I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your Elohim, O Israel. Verse 13, for lo, he that forms the mountains, speaking of himself, and creates the wind, and declares to Adam me, the Adam kind, specifically the race of Adam, What is his thought? Not through the prophets. He tells them what's coming. That makes the dawn, 7837, darkness instead of light, and treads upon the high places of the land. The Elohim of hosts is his name. So he says, you know, what does it take to get you to turn back and come back to worshiping me? What is it going to take? I've done all these things and you still won't return. Well, here we are today, and we've got war after war after war after war, and our young men are dying, and all the things that are occurring today. Our efforts by Yahweh to get true Israel to return to worshiping Him. And in some ways it has succeeded because we have the remnant in Christian identity. And He has placed the burden on us to teach the word and preach the word to the rest of the Israelites. We're not concerned about the beast of the field. We're trying to get true Israel to come back. And we have victories. We have people that convert and come back and start keeping the feasts. And doing the worship, the things that Yahweh wants us to do, like calling on His name instead of Lord or God. We call on Yahweh, and we call on Yahshua, the Redeemer, instead of Jesus. We use the holy names that have been perverted by the children of the devil, so we won't know who to call on. They've taken the holy name out of the Bible time and time and time and time and time, over and over and over and over, and they have just butchered the text and mistranslated it and are teaching it as doctrine in the Judeo-Christian churches. And we try to wake people up. Well, it's happening slowly, but it's happening. We are watching this battle go on with these politicians to try to do something right. But in the end, even all of that is going to be irrelevant, because every worldly government by man will fall on the day that Yeshua Messiah returns. They will all just, that's it. And we will have our eternal divine King, and He will rule with righteousness. And those of us that love Him will be so happy. And we won't have all this evil going on anymore. And I look forward to that day, and it's a horrible thing. Oh, you why would you look forward to the day of Yahweh? Because it must come. This unrighteousness must be put down. It must. It cannot stand. It must be destroyed. And we want Yahweh's will to be done. Even there, if there's hardship for us during the time of tribulation, even if there's hardship, we will praise Yahweh. It must be done because it's His will. And we will have to take whatever comes and give praise and give glory to Him for it. We cannot continue in the way the world is going right now. It cannot abide. It must stop. and we pray for this, and we're seeing little things happen that are giving us hope, okay? But secular things, governmental things, are only a delaying action. We see the horrendous opposition to right ruling. If somebody tries to choose something what's right, the liberals and the left and the commies and the magic carpet boys all pile on, led by the seed of Cain, financed by the seed of Cain, the Edomite, Khazarian, Canaanite, Talmud worshiping, usury practicing Jew. Because Edom still hates Jacob Israel, and the seed of the serpent hates the seed of the woman, which is Israel, the Adamic race. The opposing seed line of the adversary hates Adamites, and they seek to destroy us. This is a continuation of the war in heaven where they were cast down, and we were supposed to be the administrators of this planet. And the devil continues in his rebellion against Yahweh, in his lust for power and glory, and having people worship him instead of the Father in heaven. And eventually that's going to end too. That will end. We're watching the final days of this battle unfold. We are witnesses to this. And I don't know any other time in history where I would want to be alive and watching this magnificence of Yahweh come to pass. To give him glory and to speak his word and to praise him in all things is such a privilege. It is wonderful to be able to witness this and to proclaim it. Shout it from the rooftops. Yahweh is the only divine being, and all others are false. So, take heart. Yahweh has everything in control. Whatever is going to happen is to his glory. And if we have to go through some hardships, quit whining and start praising and start being obedient to our Father in heaven's will, and he will see you through it. Don't worship stuff. Worship Yahweh. Because the stuff is hay and stubble, and it's going to burn up. And even if you die, your stuff is going to go to somebody else. You're not taking it with you. So don't worry about your stuff. It's only temporary, as your body is right now. But we will receive our glorified body when Yeshua Messiah returns. My time is up. It is time to play Onward Christian Soldiers, and I will talk to you again tomorrow. Praise Yahweh.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.